Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Is this season 8? Is this season 9? Nobody knows. Until we put up a logo, it's still season 8. So I guess we do know. That was false advertising on my part. Anyway, we're talking about the Back to the Future cartoon, and Chen will explain why in a second. But anyway, this is Knowing It's Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Man, I got a spreadsheet to maintain. I make episode numbers for all of these things, including the episodes that have never aired except on Patreon. You tell me that we're just gonna make up the season on the fly? Go to hell, man.
I mean, it wouldn't be a new thing for us.
Yeah, but normally I just have to put up with it in silence. Now that like we're in the middle of it, you know, I feel a little more power to say something.
I'm excited that at the beginning of season 9, nearly 10 years into this project, you're finally starting to organize it.
I have had that spreadsheet for years.
Oh, wow.
None of y'all use it. Although some of you have complained about not having one.
I go into it every now and then.
Oh, do you?
I don't know. I go into some spreadsheet every now and then.
Well, don't do me any favors. Gina.
Hey, that's TV's Gina Ippolito.
Is it?
Star of The Break Room on New Rock Stars. Watch it today.
Get me on there. I want to be in a Huel commercial.
Huel Hauser?
No, I just want to do what Bert does. Like just that one shot of him like drinking the Huel and like, Do you not watch your own shit, Gina?
California's gold. Who's Huel? Is there a Huel on my show?
A Huel ad. The ad for that slurry, that nutrition slurry, the Soylent Green stuff.
Honestly surprised you don't have an ad blocker on your YouTube.
I pay for premium, so I don't have to watch that shit.
I thought it was just like built into the video.
Gina, Chan is hallucinating slurry ads in your break room episodes.
This is the first sign of dementia, Chan.
He is having a rough one.
Go to one of the new Rockstar ads, and in the middle of it, Voss will be like, and you know what? I have trouble doing this or that, and that's why I need A, B, or C. And there's one for Huel. It's sponsored content.
Oh.
Have you never been on the internet before, Gina?
I don't know what the internet is.
That's it's a series of tubes.
That joke was hilarious 15 years ago, and now the people that have power over the internet actually think that way.
Yeah. Thank you. Nailed it. Anyway, Robert Karchan, are you going to explain to the people what our newest premise is before we launch into season 9?
Here's the thing. I was just looking for episodes to put up before we even realized we could do that episode with Cobra Commander. And I was like, here's another. Oh, hey, wait a minute. These are all cartoons based on like existing movies or other properties or whatever. And we've done some of these before. We might even have done a big chunk of them. Turns out there's still a butt ton of ones we haven't done, some of which are very inappropriate. Obviously things like RoboCop. We've already done Rambo, but there's a bunch of movies you're like, why would you make a children's cartoon out of this? This 100%. One, this actually originally was like, I don't know, like the third one in the series. We kept having to push them back. And so like the ones at the end will be the ones that I had scheduled first. This is like a normal one. Like you watch Back to the Future, like, oh yeah, shit, yeah, we'd do a cartoon based on that. And I'll be goddamned if this one wasn't pretty good.
Oh boy.
Like, what the hell?
What?
Are you saying that you did not care for this one?
This is a hot mess, which we'll get to,
oh,
along with a lot of surprises.
I thought for sure this seemed like it would be a win with the Raister.
Please, only my mom calls me the Raister for telling me a depressing story about a family member.
You should stop telling stories about your family's cysts. We'll have to start calling you racist.
I'm glad you brought that up, Jan, because I have a new dermatology podcast that I'm starting.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Racist.
The world's first analropist.
Yeah, that's correct. Wait a minute. Anyway, guys, we're watching some weird, inappropriate cartoons while we put our season 9 logo together. And then we're going to open, I believe, with G.I. Joe Resolute. Although thematically, I think timeline-wise, the first live-action movie actually happened first. So,
you're trying to figure out where this falls in the timeline of Back to the Future?
No. I mean, obviously, we'll all disappear if I get this wrong. But I'm saying I don't know if we're going to open season 9 with the live action movie or we're going to open it with G.I. Joe Resolute. I'd have to go through my timelines and see like which one actually came out first, or does it matter since each one is only going to be like a 3-episode bonanza?
I'm going to keep having episodes to this series so that we never get back to G.I. Joe. Because there's still a bunch that I have not put on the calendar.
Well, we'll need a break at some point, I'm sure.
No, we won't.
Never? No, that's it, huh? I will say right now, people really reached out over that Cobra Commander episode, the last episode of Sigma 6. We got a lot of very positive feedback on that episode. It's not every day you get to book Cobra Commander to come on your G.I. Joe podcast. But I'm proud to say that if you have not gone and listened to that episode yet, go check that one out from a couple weeks ago. I feel good about it. I feel like we did a pretty good job with that one, and the people have spoken. They agree.
There you go.
That's me shilling for myself.
So what else is new then?
A legit Cobra Commander 2, may I say, like not even just like, hey, we got one of our dumb comedy friends to come on and like pretend to be Cobra Commander, like legit voice actor of Cobra Commander.
No, I've been on podcasts before where people wanted to do that kind of stuff. And I said, no, it's lame.
Well, not every podcast can manage that.
Yeah, I mean, it could be any show. Look, the point I'm trying to make here is Back to the Future. And in my head when this came on, I said, oh, yes, a time travel cartoon with recognizable characters for the somewhat part makes sense to me. Like, you could have a lot of fun going back in time with time loops and, you know, crazy peril or whatever. And, like, and maybe even be like, you know, educational in some way and maybe teach people one or two things about history as you go back in time. And I mean, like,
this is basically Doctor Who. This was the original.
Yeah. I mean, also I think the animated Bill and Ted, this was very common back then. I think that was the same thing. They were like in history class and they were like, oh dude, we gotta go through history.
That makes sense. Did they make an animated Time Cop starring Jean-Claude Van Damme? Because I would watch that.
No, but they did make an animated Time Clop. It was about a time travel horse. It just went through time, just like clippity-clop, clippity-clop.
I have nothing to say to that because I am completely at fault. okay, so I'm not up on my Back to the Future lore. It's been a long time since I've seen part 2 or part 3. I've seen part 1 in the last decade at least. And so my first thought is, who are like all of these characters on this show? I had completely forgotten that in the third movie, Doc Brown goes to the Old West where he chooses to stay and has two kids, Jules and Vern.
Great. Love that. Love those names.
Uh-huh.
Very much in keeping with the movie.
I mean, I don't care for This was very clearly like they pitched this show and people were like, oh, but the movie doesn't have any kids in it. And they're like, well, Marty's like a teenager. And they're like, no, we need kids. And they're like, okay, what if we all of a sudden give Doc Brown a wife we've never seen and kids? Although I guess in the third one, he does travel back to the Wild West. And
no,
and
these kids exist in the third one. They do that.
Do they?
Yeah, I see who didn't look stuff up now, Gina Ippolito.
Wow.
These kids and his wife do exist in the third movie.
Okay. All right. Well, then
I think they might have aged them up. I don't remember how old they were.
Well, then I guess I'm less annoyed by this.
Yeah, because I thought the same thing. I was like, did we just make up characters? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, no. Okay,
I mean, they do it for other cartoons like the Fonz and his dog.
Fonz in Happy Days has an alien dog, just doesn't make it on camera a lot, Gina.
Also, the Mork and Mindy show. There was also an alien dog.
There's also an alien dog in that one as well. Yes. I believe the Laverne and Shirley show may have also had an alien dog in it.
Yeah, all right. I guess. I mean, I found both of these kids annoying.
But I mean,
they're terrible.
What's Michael J. Fox's character even more annoying? And I prefer the kids.
But you liked this.
Yeah. And he was just like he was there because he's the main character in the movie. But the kids are obviously the dual protagonists, and there was the fun interaction of one of them being like a dope and one of them being hyper literate, and you know, like both of them trying to do their own thing but also realizing they have to work together. So like, yeah. And then also both of them just being tremendous assholes and a pain in their father's ass, which
I don't know
why I feel like that.
I don't know why I identified with that, Chan.
I mean, I would be curious to see, like, in this episode the stupid one does stupid things and gets in trouble. Is that how it is in every episode, or do we assume that the nerd also sometimes gets in trouble?
Oh, I 100% think that the nerd also gets in trouble.
Because it would get tired if just every episode, because then, like, you would assume that Doc Brown would just smother the stupid one in its sleep.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that the smart kid is too smart for his own good. You know, the kind head in his book and he runs into a wall. And so he needs his brother to sort of like help balance him out.
I mean,
oh, Gina, I'm looking ahead into the episode guide here. It turns out in a couple episodes, they meet an alien dog who then tags along with them the rest of the series.
So. I mean, here's what I would do if I was Doc Brown. I would invent a sort of the fly-esque transporter and fuse those two kids into one average intelligence kid.
That is, Gina, have you not read the Dragonlance novels? This is Caramon and Raistlin, a classic pairing of dumb brother and smart brother. It's a tale as old as time. I don't see where the problem is here.
I don't like the stupid kid, is what I'm saying, or the smart kid. I don't like any of the kids.
You just don't like children. I mean, I think we've been like with that over sort of, the decade of this show. They do. So, yeah. And the part that really bothers me, I guess, is that if I remember correctly, Doc Brown lives in like the 1800s, cowboy time, with these kids as they grew up, meaning that they would have received, even though he is a genius, they would have received an education from that time period, which I got to believe isn't that good. So compared to what even minimally is taught today,
I think it is very common for kids to receive no education whatsoever, or whatever schooling their parents dole out to them. These children were both homeschooled by a genius, obviously.
But that doesn't mean he's a genius educator.
No, but they had the things at their disposal. The smart one took advantage of it. The dumb one went out and played a hoop and stick or whatever.
I mean, my problem
is like the dumb one is almost too similar to Marty. Like,
that's part of the reason why I don't like Marty. Well, although it was nice that Marty was like the cool guy that he was trying to emulate.
I guess that's true. But I think Marty in the movies was not dumb. He just liked to rock out. And here he kind of seems dumb.
Also, we only have one episode to go off of.
That's true.
That's the first one.
Well,
that, the
that's true.
One of the things that really was weird to me is like, okay, so Marty was in high school in 1985. This is the Back to the Future story, implying that he would be in college, say, what, 1989? Is that a fair statement to say? Because we cut to him in college in 1989, and he's like plugged into a giant supercomputer with VR goggles watching it. Like, this is not what college was like in 1989. Are we postulating an entirely different world based on future technology? I don't understand what's happening in this world. It's very confusing.
The dog drives a train.
Wait, yeah, but that dog is a super dog.
Is this before or after he starts turning into Teen Wolf?
It's got to be after Teen Wolf because that was in high school.
So he was Teen Wolf, then he traveled back in time, and then for the cartoon he's in college.
Correct.
Okay.
But it just seems like, because 1985 and Back to the Future seems like pretty standard 1985. How did we get to alien technology a couple of years later?
Because they live in a bat cave and Christopher Lloyd is crazy smart. So this being a cartoon, we have a little hologram. I assume that that's his wife in the hologram. Mary Steenburgen.
I don't think so. No.
Okay, then it was just, yeah, some rando hologram.
But I would assume that only these two have this technology. I don't think it's worldwide.
Yes.
Still seems like a lot. I don't know.
I think it's a Rick and Morty situation where Marty was like, "Oh, I'm missing too many college classes, Doc, hanging out with you."
Rick and Morty. There are no extra dimensions. There are no aliens. That movie, TV show is completely unrealistic.
But Rick and Morty started out as a pitch for Doc and Marty, and they couldn't get the IP
because they were doing this cartoon, which, you know what? I'd say it still holds up.
Holds up, very much so. Look, Chan, you've got a child at home. I'm going to walk through a little premise right here. You tell me how hard this adds up, okay? Mm-hmm. You have a kid.
Yeah.
And you, for a short period of time, wish to have a moment to yourself, or just plain don't give your kid constant attention 24/7.
Huh.
So the kid into your bat cave and steals your time machine and drives back to a time of the Civil War by being a complete idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Does this track as something realistic?
This is the most realistic thing I've ever heard in my goddamn life.
Yeah.
If we had access in 2025 to time travel devices, I absolutely would not get one, because I know that I'd be like, Daddy's got to go play a match 3 game for a few minutes just to get his shit together.
When you say match 3 game, you're referring to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Masturbatory games.
The old hoop and stick, if you know what I'm saying.
The old hoop and stick. I will go out into the courtyard and play with the old hoop and stick.
But you should probably do that in like the bathroom or something. No, I don't know.
I mean, there's just not enough room. I mean, you got to like stretch out to make that.
You know what? I've been over to your apartment complex, or excuse me, condominium complex. Mm-hmm. And you, given all of the Ukrainian dance music that's constantly bopping over there, I think it is a situation you could get away with it. Yeah,
I'm just saying. This tracks.
Yeah, this is the most realistic thing we've ever seen in a cartoon, quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Before we even get to any of it, like the bit with Christopher Lloyd right at the beginning, I was like, holy shit. Like, I was not expecting something that legit.
It's functional.
Focus for 3.27 meters, the distance preferred by most leading television personalities.
Greetings. Dr. Emmett L. Brown here, creator of the Auto Jog mechanical running shorts.
I mean, they got the guy, and they didn't get him for the animated part, but like they got him. And so
but
like
this was, they did this for all animated shows in the 80s and 90s. They got Jackie really? Chan for the live action part. They got Hulk Hogan for the live action part.
The pro stars.
The live action part is very easy to get them for. I mean, I think all cartoons that were based on a live action thing, they did this and then they hired a cheap voice actor.
When you say cheap voice actor,
now the world's most
she didn't notice from the credits.
Now the world's most expensive voice actor.
Literally one of the most prodigious voice actors in history. I obviously I refer to TV's Gina Pulido as the voice of Doc Brown in this. Yeah.
Yeah. I got my start early and young.
Homer Simpson. They got Homer Simpson to do the voice.
Let's see.
Of Doc Brown. Can we hear some of that? Can we just hear some Doc Brown in the cartoon talking?
Like I had heard it and clocked it before, but this line here.
It's Scott Burn!
Oh boy. Oh, I didn't hear it until you played that.
Yeah.
And that is Bart.
Wow. Yeah, Dan Castellaneta doing his best Doc Brown impression.
And it's solid. You know, it's not.
I think he does a great job, honestly. Like, that was one of my not complaints about this was the voice acting of Doc Brown.
Can't believe this is a Chan and Gina versus Ray. We were due for one.
We're overdue for one, quite honestly.
Listen, I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun.
Well, they say the car becomes a suitcase, but a very heavy suitcase. And so the kid Vern, who's an absolute buffoon, I can't fathom the idea.
He's the Ray of the episode, if you will.
If you will. And he decides to just randomly get in the car and drive to 88 miles an hour in the sky where he poofs to the Civil War because, you know, they were learning about the Civil War in school or something.
Oh, hey, hold on. I just want to mention one solid actual joke because obviously it's not going to be packed with great comedy, but like this one here.
What's the biggest problem with the new DeLorean?
15 on the highway, 12 in the city?
No, that was good.
The adult joke.
I liked it. No kid will get it, and therefore I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, I joked about the alien dog earlier, but they do have a dog named Einstein who is basically like a full human being, just as a dog.
I mean, he's
do we
in the
know
movie.
That that's not an alien dog?
Well, he was in the movies, and he was an ordinary dog in that situation. So
yes.
So maybe he got replaced by an alien.
I mean, he's obviously smarter in this because there are several times where we see him standing on his hind legs and actually driving a car. Whereas in the original, the monster that is Doc Brown puts him against his will into a car that he does not test.
I mean, he didn't seem mad about it. He was like, going carsies? Woof, woof.
He could have died.
Did he?
I mean, we don't
know.
Did he
learn a valuable lesson?
Science!
Maybe he did.
Maybe he did, was replaced by an alien. I'm just trying to say this right now. So this kid, Vernie, as they call him, absolute dumbass. Thankfully, as he's pulling into the Confederate camp, he accidentally grabs a tarp off of a line or something to cover the time machine car, which then becomes a suitcase, and they meet General Beauregard Tannen, and a great, 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 great relative of Biff Tannen, who calls Vernie a buttocks brain. And I'll be honest, I kind of like that.
Good bit, huh?
Yeah. Buttocks brain. I like it. This is two good bits in a short period of time.
Now they don't really do anything else with the concept that Biff Tannen's relative is a Confederate war general.
It's just in keeping with each movie where any of his relatives are terrible.
Yeah, well, that's fair. And they have a conversation. If I'm seeing, there's no sense on who's to blame. for this happening. And I'm like, no, 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 you can pretty much blame Vern 100%.
Yeah.
We don't have to argue about who's to blame. It's the dumb child who stole the time machine because he wasn't getting attention to blame. Chan, any thoughts on that?
You are correct, sir.
Just wanted to hear you say it out loud.
Yes, sir.
At this point, they get on the train, which was another thing, a time machine train. That was also from the third movie.
There is nothing bad in this episode other than some annoying kids. I don't see how I don't see anything that you could possibly dislike about it, Ray.
Okay, well, to be fair, Gina, there have been plenty of episodes where annoying kids was enough to derail something for you. Getting softer.
That's true.
Oh, man. I'm sending a picture real quick of the little hollow lady who is a live action person in this cartoon. And, I mean, it really does look like Mary Steenburgen. The resolution's real low because we got this off of archive.org. But I think it might be her.
It's that not. May actually be her. We'll let the people decide.
It's not.
Well, there you go. Definitive proof. It's not, says Gina Ippolito. Therefore, case
it's
closed.
It's not. It's her mouth looks nothing like Mary Steenburgen's.
Yeah, people change.
She's the teacher in the episode. She's not. Mary Steenburgen is the wife.
Yeah. No, I figured that they, because this is like a robot hologram, I figured that he would have made it in the image of his wife.
No.
You know what, Chan? I'm convinced. This is now a Chan and Ray versus Gina episode.
I mean, there's a thing called the internet. We could easily.
Oh, really? You can easily figure out who the actor was who portrayed the AI hologram in episode one of Back to the Future cartoon.
Uh-huh.
I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, so they take the train to the past. They figure out pretty quickly and pretty unsubstantially that he went back to the time of the Civil War. How? Because the dog was reading a history book that showed the entire brigade posing for a picture dated, and it says this entire Confederate brigade got wiped out the next day. And I'm thinking to myself, cool.
Concerning.
Don't let me stop you. Annoying kid and racists.
Dang, man.
Just saying. Anyway, we go to the past. They put Vern with another child in the thing to have them be musicians playing the timpani for the Confederate war machine with the object. And I did kind of enjoy the bit because I wanted Vernie to get shot. I did. And I like the idea that him and the other racist kid are in front of this traitor brigade, and they are playing drums to get the troops moving. And he says, well, they're not going to shoot at us, right? Oh, no, they're going to shoot at us first.
Sending another picture. That is goddamn Chucky from Rugrats.
No, his head is not wide enough.
That is
I can
rats.
See it though. It does look like he could be a long ago relative of Chucky's, and then through a series of inbreedings, Chucky got his giant head.
Here's the thing, the photographer, that's his grandpa, also from Rugrats. I was trying to figure out if there was a Klasky Chupo connection, couldn't find one, but like it feels like those two characters are so close to those Nicktoons characters. Like, that can't be a coincidence.
That was a little upsetting, yeah.
I mean, the animation styles go through phases, similar phases. Uh-huh.
Did any of the other characters in this look like Rugrat characters?
You know, there is an Angelica, now that you mention it, but I'm not going to tell you where.
Yeah, I missed that. That's on me, yeah.
So, yeah, my next note here is I'm glad he gets killed. Okay. So the rebels hijack the Union train, a.k.a. Time Machine, and hold, like, Marty and Einstein the dog, or I don't know. They hold people hostage. That's fine. And then I wrote HEL-LO question mark, and I'm not exactly sure why. Chan, can you explain to me why I wrote that?
It was a gag where
dog
was trying to let him know what was going on, like blowing the horn or something like that.
Yes,
yeah,
they were trying
in Morse code. And they only heard the H-E-L, and they were obviously going to spell help, but then Doc Brown is like, yes, yes, they're trying to spell hello, hello.
Okay, I wrote that down because I like that bit.
Here's the thing about this show. We skipped over it, but it was when the two kids were talking, and they were talking about, you know, like, how dangerous is this? The actual line is,
will they? Usually aim right for you, but we're just kids. Wall makes you grow up fast.
Yo,
damn dog,
that is fucking cold. And they don't like make a joke after that or anything. It's just like, war makes you grow up fast. Just silence, and then we move on. Like that is ballsy for something like this.
Yeah. Agreed.
I'm really shocked that the people who would later work for child labor in the mines would be so low as to step towards children on the front lines of a battle.
I mean, here's the thing. We're still doing child soldiers today, so it's not like it's anything new. But we don't talk about it that much in Saturday morning cartoons, is the thing.
Wait a minute. Who's this we? Who's doing child soldiers referred to collectively as we?
I mean...
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
We want SSP! We want SSP!
You got them. Here's Kenner's SSP Peewees. They're great little SSPs. The driver's in his cockpit, in goes the easy pull T-stick, a quick tug and they're off, scooting along indoors or out. They're so easy to rev up and race. SSP Peewees with easy pull T-sticks and driver. Each racer sold separately.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
Actually,
moving forward, I just wrote here, am I honestly supposed to be feeling sorry for the traitor brigade of Confederates? Like, historically, I want them to get wiped out. So I guess this thing is trying to be like, oh man, times are tough when you're fighting for slavery. Like, I cannot get behind this group on any level in any way. I wish to see them defeated, humbled, and murdered. And yet I'm supposed to be like, my heart is supposed to be like feeling something for them. That's just not there. And I think this is why I really could not connect with this episode.
Why do you think that they were trying to, like, they'll humanize them a little bit in that, you know, like, war is hell. Everybody suffers into it, but I don't think they particularly were like, oh man, these guys, you know what? Maybe General Lee had some good ideas, kind of thing.
No, well, they're saying brother versus brother. They play that up a lot. It's the entire central conceit of Act 3. The whole concept of, like, we don't really want to fight these guys. We can come to common ground with them and not shoot. And in this particular issue, no, you can't.
Yeah. You got to be a little milquetoast with a Civil War situation like this, because it is... like 1991,
we knew slavery was bad. Probably more so than 2025, if I'm being totally honest with you.
I don't know. But like the way they teach the Civil War, like the important points are that is, you know, it is a civil war. Everybody in the war is an American. So, you know.
Yes.
You got twice as many people dead, and that's, I mean, I agree with you, but also we already did the thing with the kids, you know, saying war makes you grow up fast. Like, we don't need to drive it home too hard. Oh, by the way, once I get home, I'm going to start raping my slave.
oh my God.
Like a bit much.
I think they had that in there, but maybe in a later edit, they made them cut it out.
Yeah.
Standards and practices got all over that one. I'm going to tell you right now. Oh my God. And where did you find that sound clip, Chan? That was amazing. You just cut that right from the unedited version of the show?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. You know, I got the deleted scenes.
Wow. That's good. That's the extra mile that we like to see. They eat chipmunk stew. They just do, because they are rednecks at the end of the day.
You're from redneck country, Ray.
What? Hold on a sec.
Wait.
The Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, is not redneck country.
Yeah, I got to agree. I got to agree with Ray here. It's not. There's definitely redneck country, and Michigan is not it.
No, and there are parts of Michigan. To be fair, I'm letting you say a decent part of my family grew up on a farm in western Michigan. An argument could be made that that is redneck country, but I grew up in suburbs and cities my entire life. So I would dispute those statements, Chan.
East of Nevada, west of New York, it's all Hicktown to me.
That is maybe the most controversial and outrageous thing you've ever said to the show. And you just played that bit about what that child is going to do when he gets home from the Civil War.
I think the audience here will agree with me. I think all of them can mute 100% across the board agree.
I think collectively there are no big cities between New York and, would you say, Reno fucking Nevada?
I said Vegas. I'm considering Reno as part of the civilized part of the country.
Oh good. I'm glad someone is. Oh my God. Anyway, the train pulls up. The kids are prisoners. Marty McFly is a prisoner. He doesn't really do a lot in this episode, honestly. No.
Which is good. I mean, if that is his place just to be there as a, just because you gotta, that's fine.
And there's another thing that really annoyed me. They do this quite a few times in the episode, is like literally they'll like look at a person from the past and then be like, hey, this 9-year-old is actually is my great grandmother. And like they just like they sort of like tell the future over and over again to random people about random things with no consideration for how we know bad things can happen if you mess with the time stream.
Well, I think it is always the kids.
Yeah. And kids say stupid crap all the time.
Can you back that up, Ray?
Well, look, I would argue that because they went back and they prevented this Confederate brigade from getting wiped out of the Civil War, we now have Donald Trump as president.
Yeah, that could be.
This is the event.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Vern. Keeping Vern alive also somehow contributed to that as well. Vern, as we all know, is one of the co-founders of the Daily Wire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Soon to be bankrupt, but still. You know.
Hey, here's hoping.
Look, it's time for the battle. I did laugh. Okay, another joke that hit with me.
Is it this one?
You can't fight today. It's a national holiday.
What holiday?
Lincoln's birthday.
Okay, that one hit me good. That
yeah,
was a good
come
bit.
On. There's a lot of good bits in this.
Yeah, no. No. Can't get behind this one. Of course, Doc Brown finds a nonviolent way to end the confrontation by using a magnet to steal all of the weapons and firearms until he just doesn't. I was a little confused by this because he seems to pull all the weapons with a magnet. I lean down to write. He took all the things with the magnet. I look up and they all just have guns again.
I believe the like basically the battery ran out.
So why would it shoot them back at them?
A dog drives a train.
ICP knows how magnets work better than the writers of the Back to the Future cartoon. Very proud of myself.
For an ICP reference?
a good one that fit the moment and was correct.
We let you sit in that silence so that you would learn, Ray.
No, that was me beaming the entire time. That was me enjoying, you know, like when they have silence in a sitcom so the laugh track and applause could happen? That's what that was.
Did you hear the laugh track in your head?
I did.
Yeah.
And the applause. Maybe that's part of the problem.
That is like three quarters of it, yeah.
Maybe I was the one in the skiing accident.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the brothers end up comforting and hugging each other in the middle of the battlefield. And all of the... This is so dumb to me. And so all the other soldiers are like, wait, you guys, some of which are also my real brothers in real life. These two other brothers are embracing at midfield of this battle. We shouldn't fight each other. Let's all just go home and be comfortable with slavery.
I mean, they're not going to fix slavery in the past. They can't mess around. They can't muddle around.
Also, murdering like 100,000 people on a Saturday morning cartoon, I think it would be hilarious. Me,
it'd be amazing.
I think it'd be funny.
Yeah.
I don't know that we would be able to get that by the S&P.
Well, here's the deal. Einstein the dog brings everybody home who needs to go home with the various time machines because he's an alien dog. And they say at the end, they look at the encyclopedia again, and it says, oh, look, the caption has changed, which to me is like, ooh, that's bad news. You don't want that to change that drastically. They say, instead of everybody being wiped out in that Southern Confederate Brigade the next day, in fact, they all survived and never fought a single battle. To which point they say, hey, look, Vern, you saved lives. And in my head, yes, you saved traitorous lives who did unspeakable things. This is like saying, you saved Jeffrey Dahmer. Great job.
I believe if you read further in the caption, it's a little hard to read because of, again, the graininess of it. But it does say, and they all gave up slavery and promised to make reparations, giving each slave 40 acres and a mule.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. You know what? Had I seen that, maybe it would have changed my opinion of this episode.
Yeah. You got to pay more attention.
And I think this is where the stumbling blocks are happening for me. It's, again, I feel like I'm supposed to feel nice, positive things about a group of Confederate piece of shit soldiers who are traitors to their country and support slavery. And at any point when a cartoon, Saturday morning or otherwise, asks me to get on board with this premise, the answer is no.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
I don't. I think you're overly sensitive, you little woke snowflake.
Wow.
I would expect nothing less than the truth from Gina Ippolito.
I mean, we joke and whatnot about the MRA podcast, the men's rights activist podcast that Ray has started. If anyone is going to pull a Dax on us, it's going to be Gina.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
following.
Listen, if I go one more year without staffing, I'm fully going over to the right, and I'm going to write some really offensive jokes for them, and they're going to love me, and I'll be their poster child, and I'll get rich.
You'll be like Candace Owens times 10.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, what's sad is none of this, guys at home, this is all true. No one's making jokes here.
I mean, the end of this would be that the right milkshake ducks me. They find our old episodes where I say something like, fuck those soldiers or something like that. And then I get milkshake ducked by the right. And then neither the left nor the right have me. And I just have to become a libertarian.
Gina, if they're in your camp hard enough, when you say something like, fuck those soldiers in early episodes of Knowing Is Half the Podcast, they're going to say, you know what? Yeah, fuck those soldiers. We hate soldiers now.
That's true. That's true.
It got them on board with hating Canada for no good reason.
That's true.
You know, you just got to be hard enough in the cult of personality. They'll follow you wherever. They don't care. They have no morals.
Could I get them to mass suicide themselves? Would that be possible?
Yeah, but unfortunately, the Back to the Future crew is going to come and save them if you try to do that. So. And none of them saw a single syringe.
Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. Are you suggesting in this death cult pact Each of them will be handed a syringe of, I guess, suicide cocktail.
No, Gina's going to get them hooked on smack.
Uh-huh. And they're
and
all
just let nature take its course.
Die of accidental overdoses.
Yeah.
Accidental, nice. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just everyone getting high at the same time, listening to some Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah, we love all our listeners, and we, of course, would never wish anything like that upon them. But if they're having a good time and accidentally take it too far, man, you know, I'm just glad they had a good time.
It's all good on the comet, people.
Hail Bob! This takes us to our live action ending with Christopher Lloyd. And the only thing I wrote is, holy shit, it's Bill Nye the Science Guy. And now realizing after our conversation before we started recording, before he got super famous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I ran across it in the Wikipedia before I saw it. I was like, this is Bill Nye's first national television appearance. What the hell? And then I saw him like, holy shit, how weird. I guess the casting was looking for someone with science knowledge. Maybe they wanted someone to help design the experiments, and then okay, well, you can just do the thing, because they didn't want to have to pay Christopher Lloyd more money to come in and do those things.
Sure. And they call him Bill Nye the Science Guy, though, if I remember correctly.
They never use his name.
In the credits, though.
I think it just says Bill Nye.
Yeah.
I really thought it said the science guy.
No, okay. It does not. Because I specifically noted it, and I was like, oh, yeah, this must be pre-science guy.
Hold on. Video scientist / technical advisor, Bill Nye. Second line, the science guy.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
There it is. Okay.
I hate that Ray was right.
That's wild.
It's my ringtone.
too bad it's we talked over it, so we won't be able to get a clean cut of it.
Now, here's the deal. I'll remember.
Who else was involved here? Peyton Reed, the guy who wrote and directed it, is the same guy who did...
The Unicorn?
I thought you were going to say the Unabomber.
Wait, no, Peyton Reed was a producer on The Unicorn, and he directed our pilot because he also did Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, my God. We have a 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, Gina Ippolito, and the Back to the Future show.
I mean, it's really just 1 degree. I know
one
Peyton.
1 degree.
I know Peyton, and he worked on that.
There you go.
Boom. Boom, and then boom again. Real quick, Bill Nye the Science Guy, because, you know, we talked about it before the show, but he was on a show called Almost Live, which was a sketch comedy show out of Seattle that used to air on the Comedy Network or Comedy Central, maybe when it first started. Me and my family watched the ever-living shit out of Almost Live. There is a lot of stuff in there that probably would not track in the year 2025, like the Billy Kwan Kung Fu sections.
Oh, I do not remember those.
They were roughly on par with the Joe Piscopo Miller Lite ad where he played Bruce Lee.
Gotcha.
But to be fair, they did some funny dubbing bits, and they did some silly kicking bits with fake legs. You know,
shit. Yeah. I remember those things. Stuff. Yeah.
But I remember Bill Nye was just a comedy guy on that show. He was not the Bill Nye we all know. He was just a regular ass comedy guy like the rest of us. Doing sketches and stuff, which is wild because that's how I knew him. But in the later seasons, he came on and did science experiments because he, in real life, if I remember correctly, was a science teacher in Seattle. And so he would do funny experiments as part of the comedy show. And so when I saw him for the first time as Bill Nye the Science Guy, I remembered him from the show. I remembered him doing that on the show. And I'm like, this tracks. I'm so happy he gets this opportunity. And he ended up teaching every homeschool child in America for the next 3 decades.
There you go.
Not bad. I'm a big supporter of Bill Nye. Big fan. Bill Nye, if you're listening, good job.
Back to the Future animated series reboot?
Hey, I mean, Gina, you're the one in the pitch room.
That's true. Bill Nye, call me.
There's a new movie coming out. Just saying.
Call me, Bill Nye.
Yeah, let's get that collab going. Gina and Bill Nye. Honestly, probably be pretty good. Anyway, that is Back to the Future. Did you enjoy it?
You did make it to the little tag at the end, right?
Remind me what happens at the tag at the end. I watched it through all the way. I do not have a note for that, though.
You watched it to the end, past the credits?
I thought I did.
Hey, don't be a butthead. If you want to learn more about the Civil War, go to your local library and read a book.
Maybe I didn't.
I also didn't, I guess.
You people stopping your shit before the end of videos, man. I mean, it wasn't that much, but it was kind of cool.
Look, I like post-credit sequences as much as the next guy.
Yeah, I like that one. A bully is threatening you if you don't go to a library.
Yeah, it's flipped it on his head, huh?
Big fan. Anyways, I could not get on board with this. I think if I had seen something
really,
with maybe different
it
subject
sounded
matter,
like
I would have liked it better.
A lot of it. It sounded like you liked a lot of it. I think you're lying just to keep things interesting because you didn't want all three of us to like something.
No, look, hey, we did Batman the Animated Series, and we had episodes where everybody liked everything, and it went terribly. Oh, wait. That's to your point, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think if we had watched one with a different subject matter, and things that weren't asking me to be on board with people and events that I find deplorable.
I did indeed choose it for that reason. Oh boy, there's going to be some bad takes in this one. Hey.
And it turned out I was the only one with good takes.
I mean,
that's
basically,
the plot twist no one saw coming.
They just dodged, you know, like they didn't talk about any of the stuff that was problematic, which is whatever.
I mean, to be expected.
Yeah,
but that don't mean I don't know it's there.
Yeah,
I learned history once.
Nobody believes you, Ray.
I mean, nor should they, quite honestly.
Are you hearing that laugh track again? God damn it.
It's so funny. I'm so on right now.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.